Math horses, right? What's the gematria of tzitzis? Quick. No. 600 plus. It sings five knots. Where does it say this? Fascinating. Where does it say this? Nope. Rashi Menachas. First person to say it. Now, why does Rashi say it? Because he can't imagine. He can imagine it, but he didn't have the real reason. Zchartim is called Mitzvah Hashem, which is not Rashi, but Rabbi Meir. You want to know what Rabbi Meir said? How do you remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem by looking at tzitzis? Right. So Rabbi Meir says, in Menachos Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, I'm Rabbi Meir. Risem also is Zechartem. Let me find the Gemara here. Ma nishtare tcheles michol minei tzivonim. Real lamdan. You sit with your parents at the Pesach Seder. Say, Rafi, say the ma nishtana. Say, ma nishtana tcheles michol tzivonim. No, this pa. Ma nishtana tcheles michol. Very tired. I said, it's got to be in my blood. Ma nishtana. The Ramital used to sing a song with us. Here's a good song. Okay, you go to your host's house. So you've been in Grush, famous songs in Grush. Tell us a song you want. So you go with the Elie Weber root, Lecha es bar zevach toda. Or you could sing this one. Echad mi yodeya. Rami Tal would sing with us. Echad mi yodeya. Echad ani yodeya. And you have to say a perek in Shas, which begins with the word Echad. He told us that his Rebbein would sing that song with him. Anyone know a perek in Shas that begins with the word Echad? Everybody's waiting for the Shnayim. Everyone's waiting for the Shnayim. Echad din imamnos.
I was going to say that, but where is
Sanhedrin. Very cute. Okay, thank God we got the smarter Rashi. You know something, okay. Shnayim miyadeya shnayim. Shlosha miyadeya. Shachlo arva miyadeya. Chamish. Chamisha Shetarmo Ein Trumas and Truma Perak Aleph of Truma. So that's going to be the Schlager Seder this year. We want to read. We sent away a kid. We got a monster. Manish to not chelis mikal atzivonim. Echad miyodea. What? Just sing Pesach songs. He must be drunk. Drunk with lamdas. Lamdas is life. Okay, good vintage lamdas. Rabbi Meir says, why is it different? We all know this. Rabbi Meir says, that's how you remember and you avoid chayt. You look at the tcheles. So this is an interesting blue, and it reminds you of the ocean, which really isn't blue, but it looks blue. We'll talk about that some other time. Not really blue, but it reminds you. I don't have my tchelas to say. They got ruined. They're about to, under construction. You look at your tchelas, and it reminds you of the ocean. The ocean reminds you of the sky. You remember, the ocean reminds you of the sky, not just because of the color, but because they're contiguous. If you look far, far, far into the ocean, you'll get to the sky. So the horizon and the ocean meet at some point. So it's not just two colors. It's two colors that merge. In a second. Then you think of the sky, and then you think of the Kisei HaKavod. And this is how you remember Kol Mitzvos Hashem. I don't want you to be impatient. What's the question?
I don't know if it's all colored. It's like that thing, but why can't blue just remind you straight
in
the sky?
Okay, good question. We'll get to it in a moment. Okay? Rashi didn't have tchelas. So since Rashi didn't have tchelas, he had to make a different reason for tzitzis serving as a portal to all mitzvos. But if you have tchelas, then you think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either directly or in stages of association, you get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does this help you avoid averus? How does the reason for this heart is called mitzvah Hashem? According to Rashi, I'm thinking about the gematria. I got it. Got to be careful with shatnez. Got to be careful with chazer. Got to be careful with nevela. Got to be careful with hesekria. Got to be. It's something called proportion in life. Every sin is a failure of proportion and perspective. Come on, if you knew what you were giving up, if I knew what I was giving up, It's the worst trade since the Indians in Manhattan. I mean, a chet is really bad. Eternity, olam haba, my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I need to look, and I need to eat, and I need to talk, and it's just like silly. Like when Yirmiyah describes chet, he talks about hitting yourself. You get so angry with yourself. You get something, you're angry with yourself. What do I do? It's so stupid. But you lose perspective. You get very small. You get very panicky. Remember when you're on a plane and you're landing back in your hometown, you're looking at the little people underneath the plane, you say, well, that's me. You get a little, you're seeing yourself from a different perspective, and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, that was silly. I mean, I shouldn't be acting that way. So what Reb Meir is telling us is that one of the ways to avoid chet is reestablishing proper proportion and proper perspective and seeing the world large and getting up to Shemayim. And you know, last time you're at a beach, all of a sudden you walked away. What makes a beach so fascinating is you feel small. And you think of yourself from a different angle. It's not about, oh, my chavrusa is smarter than me or better than me. Okay, there's more in this world than you and your chavrusa. There's a larger formula, there's a larger equation. And of course, from a religious person, that larger equation is not just the sweep of life, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Olam Haba and Netzach. So much of failure in life is just not having proper proportion and perspective and seeing things broad and seeing things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are two ways you can avoid chet. You can go through the Sefer HaChinuch and make sure, or you can say, you know what, I'm not going to get caught in this little place. I'm not going to get caught in this little place of chet where I'm exchanging eternity for a moment of transient pleasure. That's silly. That's stupid. That's Indian-like. That's Manhattan. Beads for Manhattan. Are you crazy? Transient pleasure. I got to start thinking about, you know, life and death and eternity and what I want to be. And I think that hopefully some of that's happening to you guys already these 2 weeks. You miraculously went from being high school kids who are excited about pizza and sports and watching sports to being high school kids who enjoy pizza and sports, talking about sports. But, you know, it's something else. It's not like, I put it here in my heart, not here. Hopefully at some point, you know, you'll put in some little corner, not even of your heart. I'll give you a spoiler now. My goal this year is not to get you to stop watching sports. My goal this year is to get you to the point where your team, maybe you'll never get there, but there's something to shoot for. And when your team loses, you have a gut in your stomach, you feel really bad, it takes you a couple days to overcome. Jets fans have this all the time. Really, really hard. You know, come on, is that the type of person you want to be? That should really cause a gut in your heart, but because fan comes from fanatics and you put your emotions in. Could you get to the point where like you enjoy watching and you follow a team, but if they lose, okay. You know, I wish they would win, but move on. Nothing to see here. To the next stage. So you're watching sports, you're enjoying sports, but it's not this, doesn't, you know, stick its tentacles into your heart. Oh my goodness, my team lost. I'm in a bad mood. I'm going to go shoot people. Oh gosh, it takes over. So do what you do, but just reallocate the emotions. Flip it around, flip the switch. And that's what sitzes can do. And sitzes can also provide some of this shock therapy. Let me tell you a story that the Gemara Menachos quotes. I have it, it's in the Gemara, but I'll read it. Oh, well, I guess I'll read it from the Gemara because it's here it is. Okay, you listening? Okay. Maisa ba'adam echad. Rafi is a really good story. He was in a good story. Maisa ba'adam echad. Shahaya zayir b'mitzvos. He was really, really careful about mitzvos. Shama sheyesh, the Gemara Menachos daf mem dalet. Shama sheyesh zona bekrachei hayam. He heard about a zona. Not Rabbi Elazar ben Dordai, it's another story. He goes to the. She's living on some remote island in the Bahamas. You heard this, right? And he goes to visit her. And he sends her 400 gold pieces, and they set a time, and she's on all these beautiful, bedazzled beds with jewels. And he goes up one bed, and each bed is decorated differently. She's got to climb 10 or 7 beds, and there are ladders on each bed, good Hezekiah Gemara, and he goes up and up and up. And he's on that 7th bed, And his mind is captured by all this sparkle and glaze and glitz. Dazzle. And he's about to. Literally about to. And he turns on the bed. Oh, and he sees his tzitzis. And it pulls him out. So much of sin is fantasy. It's not just taking our world and dressing things up in ways that look a lot more attractive than they really are. Really think about it. I promise you, if any celebrity walked into this room right now without their makeup on, without their uniforms on, they'd be regular people like you and me. In fact, most of you are probably more handsome and attractive than those people are. I said most of you. Yeah, you had that comment. It's batting practice, all right. Give me something hard, okay? It's just the Photoshop metaphor. It's the way we see. It's the context. It's the people. And it's not just people. It's experiences. It's just Parshas Ki Tetzé. So to try to stem the taiva that this person has for the Yafas Toar, there are three things, three taiva stemmers. One, she has to become a little uglier. Okay, that makes sense. Long hair, long nails. Okay, joins a metal rock band. Okay, just for spare time. Cranks out some good tunes. Second thing, she's crying a lot. Okay, crying women, you know, hysterical women, it's not exactly a sex object. And the third part is she has to sit in your house right where you walk in and walk out every day. That's what they say, Rashi says. You'll pass her every time. Well, what is that after? She's not crying. She's not ugly. She's not disfiguring herself. In fact, I don't see her more. Yeah, but she's in front of my house. She's just... Why do you think so many people have extramarital affairs? Because the house is boring. The house is the garbage taking out, diaper cleaning, and... But all of a sudden, exotic trips over the weekend, exotic flings and hotels, and... There's something that takes so much of chet is the inability to face boredom and the desire for fantasy, the desire to escapism. No, I told you, I never forget a couple of years ago, a long time ago, as a kid from a high school, well represented here, I won't tell you the name, and everyone wanted the kid to come to yeshiva, Gush, Karen Biavna, Gush, last minute, back and, okay, it's coming to Gush. And like he didn't, he's a no-show. Weeks and weeks and weeks, I finally sat down with him and I said, like, where are you? So it took me a while to uncover. He was watching DVDs, other DVDs. They had all their TV series. So I said, come clean with me. Like, I'm trying to help you. You got to come clean with me. How many series are you watching? He says, I'm following 36 TV series. So I say, okay, you know, obviously I feel bad for you because I'm not angry. Just tell me why you need this. It's obviously you're overboard. You're addicted. Why? It was a sad story. He said, Rebbe, I have a very hard life. And he told me his life, and it wasn't an easy life. And he just said, I just need to escape. And every series I watch, I make believe I'm, I mean, he didn't say this, every series I watch just puts me. Escapism is good, but in small dosage, it's always important to escape. You can escape this Shabbos, escape. I'm not keeping you in, but just walk away, clear your head, get some air, see the world large, see friends, have some food, family. So much of chet is just... my life is boring, my life is pedestrian, my life, my wife. The ability just to say, well, that's life. Life is meant to be one adventure after another. Life is meant to be real, relationships, tone it down. And some of that, that sits is just... So here's the message in a more concrete level. Okay, I think tzitzis is a really good paradigmatic mitzvah because you're not chayiv in it. So you can spend your whole life not wearing tzitzis. But that's like the gut question. How do you view religion? As I do the minimum, or I opt in for as much as possible, and I try. I mean, tzitzis is one of the only mitzvahs that you get a mitzvah every second without doing anything. The three mitzvahs you get a mitzvah totally passive are tzitzis, Eretz Yisrael, and sitting in the sukkah. Every year in sukkahs, I make an announcement to my family. It's the triple-double. It's triple-daily. You sit in the sukkah in Eretz Yisrael wearing tzitzis. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Okay, that's not how we view religion. Religion isn't a series of ka-chings. But do you flee from it or do you embrace it? And so this is the type of mitzvah which, if you're careful about it, can serve as that lifeboat to a broader perspective. I know some boys have asked me over the years, Rebbe, I'm going into a secular environment, I'm going to a secular college. What can I do to create a line that I know who I am and I maintain my identity? Some boys have told me, a very serious boy told me about 23 years ago, he said, Rebbe, I dress like Roni. You know, you weren't born yet. I dress like Roni, but now that I'm going to Columbia, he's a nice, firm person today. He has starim, he learns daf yomi, gives shiurim. I want to wear a black kippah and a white shirt in Columbia, just so everyone should know that I'm different. I thought it was very, very brave of him and very, very accurate. Roni, one day, right? Go get the white shirts, right? Change. Okay. So I had a couple boys, I'm going to wear my tzitzis out. I don't wear my tzitzis out. It's not the way I was raised. I tried it a little bit. Just was uncomfortable for me physically because I'm not accustomed to it. One day in my life, I wore my tzitzis out. The day of my wedding. I wanted to make sure there was always this anchor to make me realize that as happy as I am, this is something I have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for and try to channel in the right way and hopefully have a wonderful marriage, Baruch Hashem, I do. Okay, so I'll talk about wearing your tzitzis out, but just to appreciate what tzitzis is and then how. And for some, that may mean, I'm not telling anyone what to do, but it may mean, okay, let me rethink my tzitzis profile. If you wear, again, we're not looking, we're not, you know, putting our, good morning, Shmuley, and you know, rub my hand. Chalila v'chas, chalila v'chas. Oh, many levels, trust me, chalila v'chas. But I don't know if people wear fishnet tzitzis. It's a machlokas aposkim. Whether you're yotze with fishnet. Machlokas between Rav Avdi Yosef and Rav Moshe. Depending on your svardi or not. Fishnet tzitzis are not so pashut. Some people may decide they want to be sipur makbid and wear wool tzitzis because that's yotze all the shittos. By the way, it's not as scary as it looks. I wear wool tzitzis. You can, I mean, not that you want to feel my tzitzis, but you can feel them, they're silk. One way or another, the wool itchiness goes away pretty quickly. If you want to take that chumrah, wait for the winter. That's a great time to wear wool tzitzis. You're going to need it. I want to wear 10 tzitzis. I want to be like the Gedolim. I want to wear 10 wool tzitzis. 30 wool tzitzis. It's freezing in Gush. I want to be warmer. Some people want to do that. Some people like tchenis. Don't do anything for effect. Don't do anything to show everyone how firm you are. Don't do anything to artificial. I'm terrible at Lashon Hara. I'm terrible at Kibbutz Avayim. But I have my tchelis on. I'm the biggest Gedol Ador because I run out of tchelis down to my ankles. It's not. I only put on tchelas at the age of 44. I never felt comfortable wearing tchelas in presence of Rav Lichtenstein, because he didn't wear tchelas. You know when I wore tchelas? About 10 years ago, I taught the fourth parak of Menachos to Israeli boys, and I just learning tchelas for the entire summer. I had such a yitzhar to wear it. I just couldn't hold back anymore. But it was at a certain age and a certain context in my life, and I felt more probably with it. So don't do it if it's just for show. The worst thing is to use a chumrah to show everyone how firm you are. That's not a chumrah. That's a lack of tznius. It's a lack of midos. But even if you don't change your tzitzis profile, you wear the same tzitzis you're wearing, just appreciate not just tzitzis, but in life how important perspective is. And just ask yourself right now. You've left your smallish communities, and you've come to Israel, to the Gush. So it's Israel. The Gush in Israel, and it's the yeshiva of these layers. You're not just learning with 17 and 18-year-olds. I think one of the words that hopefully can describe your last 2 weeks is perspective or proportion. Like now you see things, even if you haven't changed your opinion, you're seeing it from a whole different vantage point, and you're rethinking, and you all should be rethinking and reestablishing. That's what life is. But I'm saying this perspective, and from a religious person, you're in that perspective to change to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and stages, because the human mind doesn't make quick jumps. We go in slight increments from one to another. Have a great Shabbat, everyone. Rest, eat, dine, wine. Okay, there's a contest. And whoever wins the contest gets the next invite to my house. Who can eat as many different foods in as many different restaurants today? Okay, so first of all, the obvious is you don't...
Are you putting the bill?
No, that's a good question. You don't want to start with the fleishiks, but my recommendation is start a little with ragalach, move on to hummus, get a little ice cream, and then trina, then maybe some pizza, and then finish it off. Anyone that goes for the five, you're invited. If you do five different foods today, you're invited twice to my house. Okay, so guys, go get them, eat, enjoy, ravenous. There's no issue of gluttony today. Eat, make brachas, 200 brachas today. Eat and enjoy. I want to see all you porky pigs coming back on Sunday. like this. Okay. Go. The food's waiting. Shabbos is at 6:35. Go. Nachum, you have to go to Nakolin and help hubbies.
Yeah, man.
Get some food, Yossi.
Yeah, it's also that similar in terms of proportionality. Like also the story with the peanut honey of Mendoza with the table, quantifying what is there.
Good table story. Good table story. Can't even marry those tables.
Yeah.
Go get some good of the Sephardi foods. And all these, I was at the Kotel last night for the Golani and Dutch. All these Sephardi families hanging out those stringy stuff, the stringy orange stuff, a lot of oil on it.
Spaghetti?
No, like stringy food. Yeah, klaklaba, haklaba.
Yeah.
Hold on, I was like dying to take the potato. Shabbat shalom. Tom, you here for Shabbat?
Yes.
I'll see you tonight, Amit.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
So first of all, the Rebbein Yonah is talking about like a kinyan achrayis.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean that you have like?
Okay, achrayis